Well, finally, what I think is a first for this programme, I'm actually going to read out some computer code. So, keen listeners, can you spot the language? NA equals IDINT P minus 1. If P.LT.RL0NA equals NA minus 1, X equals P minus DBLE float NA. All right, then, that's a bit of programming from the language Fortran, and we've included that to maintain credibility with our most critical listeners from the tech community. But also, it's my own little way of wishing Fortran a very happy 50th anniversary. I've expressed 50 as an integer, obviously. Now, Fortran is important because it's the first high-level language. To put it technically, it just means using proper words like if, or go to, or return, rather than the strings of numbers that are the raw data that all computer commands ultimately have to be boiled down to. It's a bit like me going to a restaurant and saying simply, I'll have the omelette, rather than specifying exactly where to get the eggs from and then how to cook them. Fortran was first released 50 years ago in 1957 by a team led by famous American computer scientist John Backus. Now, sadly, he died earlier this year, but Paul McJones remembers him well. Currently a principal scientist at Adobe Systems Incorporated, also informally a historian of software collaborating with the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, Paul worked with John Backus in the 1970s. He's been telling me all about Fortran and how it began as a programming language for a 1950s generation of IBM mainframes.
At that time, IBM was about to come out with a machine called the 704, which was their first really successful scientific computer. It came out in 1954. And yet Fortran, it turned out, was easily ported, is the modern word, to essentially every other computer at IBM and at all of the competitors, which turned out really to be a big advantage for the industry.
Did it actually work? I mean, was it any good as a programming language?
Yes, it was amazing. The team labored for about 3 years and in 1957 came out with the first release. And within just a few months, the customers, which were big laboratories and, you know, engineering and scientific customers, were starting to use it for most of their new programs. It was generating machine code of a quality that was actually equal or better than many of the existing programmers were producing by hand. And that had been an initial goal of the project. John felt if he didn't maintain efficiency, that people wouldn't accept it because the computers were extremely expensive in those days.
But there must have been purists at the time who thought, look, the only way to program computers is the hard way with machine code. Why do we want one of these higher-level programming languages?
That's right. In fact, John referred to that group as the priesthood. You know, they tended to maintain this air of mystery, and he was fairly dismissive. He said, no, I think there is a better way. It doesn't need to be a priesthood.
And crucially, of course, this isn't just a story of the 1950s and 60s. In fact, Fortran is still around today. And it evolved then in the intervening decades.
That's right. It's always been the preeminent language for engineers and scientists who are doing high-performance numeric computing. And so, like you say, it's evolved about every 10 or so years. A standards group looks at what's working, what's not, and adds new features. And that process has worked quite well.
But why is that the case? Because I did an electronic engineering degree and we did a bit of programming on that. And we looked at C, for instance. I did a bit of coding in Pascal, even a bit of the dreaded assembly language, which I found virtually impossible. Not much mention of Fortran. And we're talking there about the early 90s. It seems as if it almost went away, but not quite. So how has it managed to survive?
Well, I think by being really directed at a bunch of people who are hands-on needing to compute. In other words, there's fads and there's fashion, and then there's people who just need to get a bunch of number crunching done. And that's what Fortran is really good at. And the group of people who sort of are the stewards of the language are essentially the same people that are wanting to use it to get their work done.
Is that the point, then, that there are certain things that Fortran's very good for? You know, so you mentioned number crunching there, whereas there may be other programming languages that are better for machine architecture and other languages that might be better for graphics. It's just that Fortran's particularly good when it comes to doing lots of sums.
That's correct. It has good support for numbers and for matrices of numbers, so linear algebra and differential equations and all those kinds of things just are efficient to program in Fortran. It's possible for the compiler to generate really good machine code so that those things run fast. And the people have also adapted it for the new machine architectures with parallel processors and so on.
Where is it still being used then?
Well, it would mostly be used by the big national laboratories that do physics computations, frankly, weapons design, but also in aerospace.
So I guess that you'd see it being used in NASA, various meteorological organizations around the world use it, I suppose.
Yes, those are good examples of a typical user.
Bill's still chattering away at the end of that insert there. Right, Paul McJones speaking to me there. Bill, now that you are on, Mike, what would you like to say about that?
I want to mention new Fortran, because Fortran's still a live language, and it's still being used by lots of people. Fortran 2008 is being developed, and yeah, back in 1983, I learned how to code in it. It was never my favourite language. I was a C programmer, but I always admired it. And if you want to have a go with Fortran, if you're a Java programmer who wants to know what this is all about, you can get a free open source compiler and try it yourself.
And for the rest of us who don't spend a lot of time programming codes just for fun.
I mean, sad people!
The look of horror on your face there, Bill, I'm so sorry. It's still important, isn't it? Because this was a high-level language. So it just meant, I assume, that we were able to do more complex things with computers more easily because we had this as a tool in the toolbox, as it were.
Everything we can do today can be traced back to Backus's idea that you can express the commands you want to give to the computer in a more sophisticated form and then leave it up to a separate program, a compiler, to turn them into the machine code the computer understands. And that's given us the high-level languages, the graphical user interfaces, all the power we have today. We would not have been able to be productive enough to do any of this without that fundamental insight and then his brilliance in turning it into a language that scientists and engineers could use. So my admiration for the man is great, but the fact is that his language is still being used 50 years later and still being used productively shows how good it was.